Glad to see you once again. You will turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubbles which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn thy reproach upon thy own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Verse 5, and cover not thy indignity, and let not thy sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Verse 6 says, So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." Our Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for this evening. And Father, we thank you now, Father, for the word of God, where we just read. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just help me with it tonight. And Father, as we go into the service tonight, Father, and taking communion, oh God, we pray, Father, you'll be with us there. And Lord, I pray, God, that you may speak to hearts tonight, speak to mine, give me that unction from on high. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, right here says in verse 1, we see where the Jews, where there was wroth and furious, and basically what they was doing and the way they was acting, it was unheard of. It was ridiculous, because they didn't want to have anything at all to do with the building of the wall. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to have anything to do with God, really. But it says right here, it says in verse 6, it says, "So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together." I want to bring your thought tonight on the pattern for success. For Faith Baptist Church, for the people that is here tonight, and the people that was here this morning, and for the future people that come in, they can have a pattern. And the book of Nehemiah right here tells us, and it gives us the pattern for success as a believer, of success in what we must do for the Lord. But it says, word came to Nehemiah that the remnant in Jerusalem and those that had escaped captivity were in great affliction. I don't know why it was, but it looks like every time you read in the Old Testament, there's somebody, some part of the individual's family or something was happening in someone else's life. It was bringing about sickness, bringing about troubles and everything. Same way today. It happens today. We're having the same thing that's going about today. The Jews. And mock the Jews. Not only did they mock the Jews, but the Jews turned around and mocked them back. That sounds like a whole lot of Christians today. If they don't like what you preach, they'll grumble about it. Then the next time they come, if you give them a message of hope and a message of love, then they're going to grumble about that. Just all time grumbling. But don't realize that the pastor of the church is looking after their well-being. That's what we are doing. We're looking after your well-being. We don't want you to get in the same mess that the other part of the world has got themselves into. We want you to have a successful Christian relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have that. But it also is a price that we have to pay. So what's the price? The price is not that bad. The price is not that bad. And it says in verse 6, so built we the wall. Working. Just getting on the telephone. Now each and every one of us have a telephone. In my house we have probably 4 or 5 telephones in the house. When we leave now, when we leave the house, we don't even have to worry about if we're going to miss a call or not. As long as they got our cell phone number. But now all you have to do, you can take that now and go in and have it transferred, your house calls, to your cell phone. So it's not that we don't have a reason not to get in touch with people. I think the reason that we don't get in touch with people is because we are scared what they may say. We're scared of what they may ask us in return. But as they went about building the wall here, and you notice right here, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That's what we need. We need a heart of love, and then a mind to go out here and do something, not for ourselves, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, because of everything he's done for us, for him going to Calvary and blocking the road to hell. Well, we don't have to end up going to. But that's up to us. We either can choose the Lord, or we can choose the devil. We're going to have one. We're going to have a master. You're going to have a master. And there ain't but two masters in the book that I've read about. And one of them is the master of all the masters. And that's God the Father, like I spoke about this morning. But also we had the master for the world. And that master wants to tear down God's people. He would love it if he could just tear down God's people enough to where he could have some more churches closed. And if you go back and you think about it now, think about all the churches that you know of in the past that have closed the doors. What type of churches were there? They was churches where they stood on the Word of God. People today don't want the Word of God anymore. Why? Because now they call it that bloody religion. They call it anything at all except for wanting to be a Christian. Yes, it's bloody. It had to be. It had to be bloody for us to see where it was at. Because just think about it now. Just think about the individual, you as an individual, and we can think about it. That as he hung down the cross, that could have been me. But just let's go back a little ways. When they beat him with the whip of the cattail on his back, and he had the marks upon his back. The Bible speaks of the marks, the scars that was placed on his back by the cattails was like a furrow in a field. Anybody know what a furrow in a field is? That's when he took a tractor and a mule or whatever, had a two-bottom plow, or maybe just a one-bottom plow. They went in there and they dug it into the ground deep enough to where it would take it and turn it over. And they would turn it over to where, what? All the soil on the top, the grass, all the weeds, and all the imperfection of it would be turned over. And the sun would come down and hit the dirt they had just put, that they had just pulled up from the bottom. And it would heat it to the point to where the grass, the weeds, the imperfection that would be burn out
It would dry up. It would rot. Same thing with Jesus.
And I can imagine what his back looked like. Because I've been on the tractor and I've had the one bottom plow on there, and I've had the two bottom plow on now, and I've went out by back, and I've seen the land that I wanted to break up, where the land would be grown up with weeds and everything through the summer before in the fall. But later on in the fall, towards the winter, maybe right before the winter really set in, I'd go out there and I'd plow that land and I'd turn it back over. Why did I go turn it back over? So springtime, when springtime come about, then I could go out there and disc it, and I could fix it the right way. Then you could take and you could make rows into it. And then you could go out there and plant your seed. See what was turned over? All this stuff that was on there before was gone. And now, waited another 7 months. Yeah, I start in October, and I go out there and turn the land over. Then in April, I'd go out there and I'd try to disc it out, smooth it out, get all the sod out of the way and all the clunk, the clunk of dirt, break it all up. What does that represent? That represents a pattern. A pattern. And just think about it now. The farmer knows what the Bible speaks about. They know what it speaks about and where they need to let the land set aside for 7 years. Because then they know that in the eighth year, when they start the new process over there and planting whatever they plant there, they know that they're going to have success with it. Why? They went through 7 years of letting the land set. Let all the nitrogen from the trees and the leaves to get onto the land and just kind of just get into the ground. See, that's our pattern for success. What is our pattern for success? The King James Bible. Amen. We need to stick with it. We can see that here that for them to seek the pattern for success, they had wisdom. They knew what wisdom was all about because they listened to God. Because you go up to verse 3, it says, "Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up it, he shall either break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn thy reproach upon thy own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Some of the people that went out there first start building the wall. They didn't have the right material. They didn't seek God. They didn't ask for God's help. They didn't have the right material. They just went up and just threw it up. But then they knew that if they threw it up, if they just take it, just build the wall up, It did not have to go and meet certain criteria, and it didn't have to go in here and use this type of material. They could just go in and board it up. Just like a whole lot of, you go over to City of Danville, just like a whole lot of homes here in the City of Danville, where they done, the people itself used to live there, they done went in and they have tore up the building, tore up the homes, the houses, and everything. And what do they got now? They got a house standing, but they got it all boarded up. Before they boarded their house up, it doesn't make no difference if it was the City of Danville or who it was. As soon as the house was boarded, they gave up on the house. And if you give up on something, why don't you just do away with that? That might as well, because just the house setting with no occupancy there, no one living there, no heat, no life becomes alive inside the home. It's deteriorating. It goes down. I mean, you can see that. You go out and you can just look at a home that where somebody just moved out of, and the owners about ready to get everything back together and they're going to rent it. But when they get ready to rent it, they ask way too much money. And they take 6 months, they ain't renting it. A year, no rent. I'd rather let the rent fall completely all the way down and then gradually kind of go back up than to lose the property. But there are people today don't care anything at all about what they have. They don't care what God has given them. And God has given them a pattern for success. Right here in Nehemiah, he accepted help from other individuals. But as he accepted the help in building the wall, they had to use the material that he was using. And they would have to raise the wall up the way he said to raise the wall. Now you're talking to my daddy. You're saying, well, he's the dictator. No, he's the leader. He's the leader. You have to have individuals that's leaders. You have to have, out here in public, you have to have people and a supervision material to where they can take and supervise over the other individuals. That they are leaders. They know what to do. They know how to get things done. He knew how to get things done. He knew the right pattern for success. He knew the right material. And he knew the one that he was building it for. I'm not looking for this church to be filled up because of me and because of you. You know what I'm, you know the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of God. Yes. Because of Him. That's the reason I love to see this church a field, and it's not because we don't have no seating room. It's not the reason we don't have no heat. And it's not the reason we don't have no air condition. The reason is, please don't take this wrong. I don't mean anything by it. And I got myself at the very top of it. I'm lazy. We're lazy people. When it's coming down to doing things the way God wants them to do it. We always think that we got a better way in doing things. But I tell the people all the time, if it ain't broke, why are you going to spend your time in trying to fix it? Because when you start working on something, it's definitely going to be broke then. Then not only that, then it can't be fixed. Can't be fixed. He faced the reality of the situation. He knew people. He knew there was going to be some people that weren't going to listen. He had some people that would listen. But he had to go to the people. To accept them, to see if he could teach them. The right way in building the wall. We know the right way in building Faith Baptist Church. We know the right way. Why is it not happening? You may say, well, preacher said, you know what? Right now, it looks like maybe God's just waiting. God is just testing our faith and seeing how long we're going to stay here. And see how many of us are going to continue on going and all of that. At one time, I believed that myself. I don't believe that anymore. God wants to build this church. God wants this church to be what it was supposed to be for Him when He first put the first nail in of the piece of wood. Because nobody's going to tell me that Brother Ben Poovey, when he put that first nail in, that he was not even thinking about. I know you're Lord, you're going to finish your time.
we would just get back to a mind like that. And saying, God, I'm coming next week expecting somebody else to be there that hasn't been before. Lord, I'm expecting this to happen. Lord, I'm expecting them to come this week that I visited. I'm expecting things to happen. You know, when I had some people last year, I'm going to share this with you, and then we're going to, then Brother Bill, come on, you'll be coming on up here. But I had some people last year, right before we had the Jubilee back in April, I believe it was. And I'm just inviting them. Tell them what was happening. And they said, well, you just going to have a revival? I said, no. We might just have a revival. We have a Jubilee. And that's when you have different speakers that come. Then asked me, I said, well, what does Jubilee mean? Jubilee is speaking of 50 years of faithfulness. And in church, this year will be that 50 years. And some of the people that are still there that started out with them, it's not full. We don't have but a few people. What would I do with the few that we have? You can ask me any given day. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. How many do you have there? Oh. Well, how many did you have last week? We had 100%. How many did you have the other week when it was raining? How many did you have that? We had 100%. Because they weren't worried about being sprinkled like the Methodists do. I says, because they'd already been baptized. They was immersed. What we think about when it's raining, the sprinkling part, we just think about each drop that comes down. That's a blessing. There's a blessing in each drop that comes our way. But as he was speaking to me about Jubilee, he said, he said, I know nothing about the church. He said, but I heard at one time that they didn't have that many down there. And I want to say, how can you and how can a church afford a Jubilee? I said, yeah, it takes money to put stuff like that on. I said, but you know something, you have to trust God. A couple, 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, I saw him again. He asked me, and I told him, I said, I missed you coming to New York. I said, man, we had a time. We really did. I said, I really missed you. He said, well, how many preachers did you have? Was like, I said, well, we had one preacher that preached every night. The main preacher. many others did you have? I said, I had another preacher too, four priests before him. That's six preachers. Said, you had any more preachers? I said, well, yeah, I had another one there. He ended up being a moderator. I said, yes, I'm a pastor of the church, but I was just that, but as far as I'm concerned, I just that to enjoy what was going to go on. I was going to let them do the work. I was going to enjoy what was going on. I don't worry about things like that. I don't worry about the money issue. I don't worry about circumstances that we have no control over. I leave that in God's hands. God knows how to take care of it. Did God tell us that He would be with us through it all?